Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah?
Aw
yeah! Aw yeah! Ladies and gentlemen from all across the universe, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and
adventurous
way to learn English. So download this podcast right now and listen to us while you're on the bus, in line at the grocery store, jumping off a cliff in a squirrel suit, or even
tubing on a river.
Oh yeah, I'm joined here in the Cross Atlantic studio with the man who plays soccer with a bowling ball, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah, I have a really muscular foot.
Have you ever injured yourself doing that?
No, I've injured the goalie though many times.
That sounds extremely painful for whoever has to catch the bowling ball that Justin Murray has kicked. So, based on some of the things you heard, maybe you could guess that we are talking a bit about sports, in particular extreme and outdoor sports. I am from Colorado, and Justin also spent several years going to university there, running in the beautiful Rocky Mountains, and so both of us are, of course, experts on this topic. What do you say?
Oh, yeah. It's something that I think has inspired both of us, and it's something that I think both of us really want to get out and experience these extreme sports. And also there are lots of like professional athletes that inspire us too, so it's a great topic to talk about.
Definitely. So let's roll right into this. We're going to start out with a kick-ass quote. Everything you want is on the other side of fear. This is by Jack Canfield. So what do you think that means, J-Man?
Well, I think you can definitely apply this to adventure, you can apply this to English, you can apply this to pretty much anything that fear is what's holding us back. We sort of imagine like the worst case scenario, like if we open our mouths and speak English, if we talk to that person, if we climb that mountain, that something bad is going to happen, and ultimately pushing through our fears is what gives us a sense of courage and empowerment, and it helps us live the lives that we want.
What do you mean you said it holds us back?
It limits us.
Yeah, exactly. I think that a lot of times, actually, we can train ourselves to use fear as an indicator of the next thing that we should do. Because usually we avoid it. Anything that seems like it could be painful or uncomfortable, we tend to avoid it instead of leaning into that and actually using that as an indicator of how we can like grow stronger. So, for example, you know, if you have the opportunity to go speak English with someone, you're probably going to be pretty scared, but all of the benefit, everything that you want, your English fluency, your improving, getting the skills that you need for speaking are on the other side of that first conversation. So don't use an excuse like you can't find anyone to talk to. There's a lot of people out there. You just have to have the guts to go and do it.
Yeah, and let me reiterate another quote that I know we've mentioned before. It's something, I don't remember exactly, I'm paraphrasing, but courage is not the absence of fear. It's co-living with fear. It's being able to overcome it and really find your best self there.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of the like very inspiring extreme athletes tend to say, is that it's not that they don't have fear. They're not scared when they're out there like surfing humongous waves or jumping off of a cliff in a squirrel suit. It's that they, you know, they just lean into that fear. They do it anyway because they love the feeling of what they get from that. So,
okay, two things, Mr. V, here. So to lean into, I know we've defined this in the past, but can you define it, please?
So it means kind of doing that thing even though it's uncomfortable. You kind of embrace it instead of avoiding it.
And squirrel, that's kind of a hard word to pronounce too. Squirrel.
I think that's like a test for your level of English pronunciation for almost anyone coming from any mother tongue learning English. So squirrel is like a rodent that has a very puffy tail.
So it like climbs trees, right?
Yeah, eats nuts. So it's that's a good way. If you want to just do a quick pronunciation practice, you can repeat after me. Squirrel.
And what's a squirrel suit?
Squirrel suit, I think it's actually like from a flying squirrel is where that name comes from, which is like it's obviously looks similar to a squirrel, but it's got some like flaps that allow it to glide between trees in the air. And so basically like someone invented this, that it's a suit that a person can wear and they can kind of glide through the air. So this is, I think, one of the most dangerous sports that I've heard of. And it's pretty fun to watch videos on YouTube because it kind of gives you an exhilarating feeling, even though you're not the one doing it.
Yeah, this is the thing about that I think about when I think about outdoor sports or extreme sports. I think about those videos. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, there was like a video actually near here. There's a pretty famous mountain called Montserrat, which is just like characterized by a lot of different rocks and big like megaliths, big rocks. And there's a place called the Keyhole, which is like it's a big rock with like a hole in it. And there's some people who have gone through this very narrow hole with a squirrel suit. So I recommend if you're near a computer or if you want to pause this on your phone and just like go check out that video on YouTube. But anyway, maybe we should give a shout out to a couple people who are doing some extreme English learning.
Oh, yeah. So it's really hard to choose the shout outs because we have so many people to give shout outs to these days. That's a good thing. We really love sifting through those shout outs, those iTunes reviews that we love so much. It really helps us grow our audience, inspire more people, and really kick ass in what we're doing. So thank you to all those who have given us shout outs. For those who you're waiting for your shout out on here, then it's coming. Don't worry. But the first shout out today comes from a Fluency Circle member, Andrews Martins. This is another person who's very inspiring in that group. Fluency Circle is what, Ethan?
Fluency Circle is all of our students who use one of our courses. For example, the Real Life Radio Power Learning Club. So this is like a bunch of different lessons that takes 40 of our podcast episodes, and it breaks down all of the vocabulary, the expressions, the pronunciation, and any of the jokes that you might not understand just listening. And Fluent with Friends does a very similar process with the TV series Friends. And so everyone that's using this also gets exclusive access to our international community, the Fluency Circle. And we have just people having really awesome conversations all the time, exchanging cultures, motivating each other, kind of like helping each other to learn. So, and of course, practicing their English. So if you are interested in learning more about our courses, you can go to the show notes of this podcast at reallifeglobal.com/extreme, extreme.
Okay, so Andrews, on his iTunes shout-out, he gave us... He said, "Hey everybody, thanks for helping me live my English and learn a lot about the world, a world without borders where everybody can support each other. Keep going with what you're doing. That helps people more than you think." Oh yeah, Andrews, that is an amazing shout out for us. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much for giving us that and for your participation in the Fluency Circle community too. That really means a lot.
Awesome, and we've got a 5-star review from iTunes. And this is from Joanne, I guess, or Joanne from Greece. She says, "As an avid English learner, I never stopped looking for effective ways to improve my speaking skills. I've found many good resources all these years, but they were not big help to me. But once I ran into these guys, though, I got hooked. I don't even think I'm learning or practicing while listening to them. I just have fun. And I'm looking forward to the next one when they finish. As for their advice, I'm following what they're saying just because they present it in an almost adventurous way. I've seen tremendous improvements in my speaking and listening skills within just a month. And although I can't afford to buy a course right now, I've got one in store for the near future." Oh yeah. So like we said, if you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, this is really great so other learners like yourself can learn about the podcast and they can also use it to help them reach their goals of English fluency. So without any further ado, let's jump into the main topic for today, talking all about outdoor sports and extreme sports and how to be a bit more adventurous with your English.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to start off with less extreme sports, more relaxed sports, and then move into the more extreme ones. So a more relaxed sport is hiking. What exactly is hiking, Ethan?
Hiking is basically walking in the mountains.
Okay. And so we both went to the University of Colorado in Boulder, one of the greatest places in the world for hiking, right? Why don't you describe that a little bit?
Well, Colorado is smack dab in the middle of the Rocky Mountains.
Wait, smack dab?
Smack dab in the middle, it means that it's right in the center. So it's very famous because there's nice weather almost all year round. It's almost always sunny. And in the winter, we get quite a bit of snow. So there's very good, in the mountains, there's very good winter sports like skiing and snowboarding and horseshoeing, which is basically you wear some big rackets on your feet and go hiking in the winter. And so it's a very popular place for...
You said horseshoeing?
Horseshoeing. So
isn't that snowshoeing?
Snowshoeing. Yeah, you're right. What is horseshoes is another game where you have like a post and you throw horseshoes at it.
Yeah, that's another outdoor sport.
Anyway, so snowshoeing. So, and there's a lot of other ones like sledding. You go down kind of like a hill on a toboggan or like a big piece of plastic or whatever you have handy. So there's a lot of basically Colorado is very popular for anyone who loves being outdoors, who is very active. In fact, it's the state in the United States that has the lowest percentage of obesity, which is, you know, quite important coming from the United States where it's become a huge health concern. And so if you are curious about that, there's much more to the United States than like Miami, New York, and California. Definitely go check out Colorado. But we have like one of my favorite activities in the summer is to go camping.
Okay. So camping, we have you bring oftentimes in a car or like a camper, which is a vehicle that has a like a shelter on it. You bring your someplace where you stay, maybe a tent, and you oftentimes might have a campfire. And in the United States, we have a really great tradition. This is actually a nice connected speech example, but we make s'mores. What is s'mores, Mr. V?
S'mores, it comes from, I guess the name comes from some more. So if you say some more really quick, like I want some more of that, it's really tasty. It starts to sound like I want some more.
S'mores.
And then we just got the name from that, s'mores, which is basically a graham cracker, which is sort of like a type of cookie. And then you have on top of that, well, you roast a marshmallow, which is a kind of sweet, puffy candy, I guess. When you put it over the fire, it gets kind of golden brown and gooey. What does gooey mean?
Gooey. Gooey is like, how do you describe that? It's like really sticky and like soft and warm, right?
Yeah, and it kind of melts in your mouth even.
Melts in your mouth, exactly. Not in your hand?
I think, well, marshmallows melt in your hand as well. That's M&M's that don't melt in your hand. So you do, we said a graham cracker, a marshmallow, and then a piece of chocolate. The most famous is Hershey's chocolate, which is very American, but I think it's better with a better kind of chocolate. And then one more graham cracker on top. You make kind of a sandwich. And because you have the roasted marshmallow, everything kind of melts together. So it's super tasty. And you always want some more.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, moving on. So another couple popular sports in Colorado, we have backpacking and trekking, right? And Ethan and I, we did a trekking trip, or Ethan thinks it's a backpacking trip in Chile, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that, Ethan?
We were in the Andes Mountains in Patagonia. So it's definitely one of the most beautiful, breathtaking places I've ever been. What does breathtaking mean?
It takes your breath away.
Exactly. So that's a way that we can say, like, especially if there's like a really nice view, we might say it's breathtaking. And So we went there for 3 days backpacking or trekking, which backpacking in this sense, it's kind of like basically trekking, but with a big backpack with, you know, one of those famous big backpacks where you carry everything that you need for camping and staying overnight a few nights. And you might also use backpacking, for example, even if it's a smaller backpack, for a sort of trip that people take, like backpacking across Europe, going from town to town, city to city, country to country. So those are kind of two different uses of that word. And that was quite adventurous, good bonding experience for Justin and I. And what other kind of sports would you say are pretty popular in mountainous places like Colorado?
Well, people love to boulder and people climb. So Boulder is the name of the city, right? Boulder means like a big rock, spelled B-O-U-L-D-E-R. Mm-hmm. And there's another word, like bold, means like daring, right? That's a different word, B-O-L-D. So bold. Mm-hmm. And there's even a race called the Boulder Boulder. And it's like the more daring boulder. Kind of a wordplay. But anyways, the difference between bouldering is, I believe, it's kind of when you more are climbing without gear. Am I right, Ethan?
Yeah, exactly. I've done this a little bit. It's basically doing the rock climbing from a lower height, and it's kind of more technical because, you know, you can't fall or anything. It's very much about small movements, whereas when you do rock climbing on a large wall, which is sometimes called a top rope, then, you know, you have a little bit more freedom because if you fall, you're tied to a rope, you're not going to get hurt or anything. And a lot of times, because you're going up an entire wall, the movements will be a little bit bigger. I wouldn't say less technical because it depends on how hard of a climb you were doing. So that's very popular. I think the name bouldering, the sport, actually comes from Boulder. I believe that's where it's invented, if I'm not mistaken. And it's obviously very popular there for that reason.
Okay, so that's bouldering and rock climbing. And moving on to some river sports, we have a lot of sports to cover, so let's move through this pretty quick. We have whitewater rafting. First of all, what's a raft and what's whitewater?
Well, a raft, I guess that would probably be the first important thing, is like a big rubber boat. And usually, I think they're, in Colorado at least, they're usually like yellow or bright blue or something like that. So they stick out in the, if you're like looking at the river. And whitewater,
It doesn't need to be like a big rubber boat. It can be something else too, right? It can be like a wooden, right?
Yeah, but like as far as like whitewater rafting, I think it's always a big rubber thing. Otherwise,
yeah,
it would be kind of sketchy, kind of dangerous.
No, I definitely agree.
And whitewater, that comes from basically the color of the water when it's very turbulent. So like when basically on the river, you would call this a rapid. When the river goes down, it descends very quickly and it's going over a lot of different rocks and sticks and stuff like that, then it starts to get turbulent and turns white. So whitewater rafting is like an extreme sport where you're taking one of these rafts over this part of the river. And I think one of the most famous in the United States is actually the Grand Canyon. So if you ever wanted to go to the United States and you want to take your trip to the Grand Canyon to the next level, you could actually raft down it, but you have to reserve it, I think, even a couple years in advance. And some other sports you might do like this are kayaking, which is where you have it's like a small plastic boat that you have, you actually usually just fit one person into it, and it's very small so that it's very easy to manipulate on the river as opposed to like a raft. And you might have sea kayak, which tends to be bigger. Sometimes even two people can fit into it.
But it's really long and narrow, right?
Yeah, I'd say like the river ones are really small. They're like small and maneuverable. The sea kayaks, they're bigger because you have like waves and stuff, and so it needs to be able to be more stable on top of the waves. And another similar one would be like a canoe, which I believe comes from the Native Americans. It's a wooden boat. It's kind of similar to a kayak, but it's longer and it's a bit harder to flip it. And then the last thing we have, which is very popular in the summer, not in whitewater so much, is intertubing, or we might just shorten it to tubing. So what does that come from? What's an inner tube?
Okay. An inner tube. So wait, it sounds like you're connecting your words there. What, enter or enter, Ethan?
So when we have that NT between words, in the middle of a word, it would turn into like an N sound in American English. So that's a good example. Intertubing becomes inner tubing.
Yeah, and
internet
also just,
becomes sorry. Internet. International becomes international.
Yeah, and so the stress needs to be on the previous syllable, actually. So, for example, you can't say integrity. It's always integrity because the stress falls after. You can't say integrity, right?
Exactly. Getting more technical on us. So what is an inner tube?
An inner tube is, it's actually the tube in a tire, a lot of times, that you fill with air, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I've been on the Boulder Creek, for example, on an inner tube. Have you?
I've been on the Animas River, which is in my hometown.
Okay. Well, basically, you go on an inner tube. It's kind of dangerous. Wear a life jacket. Mr. V, life jacket?
A life jacket is like a kind of like a foam vest that you wear that if you fall out of the off of the inner tube, for example, or out of the raft, it'll help you stay afloat.
Yeah, because a lot of times when you're going down the inner tube over rocks and like waterfalls and stuff, you can hit your head. And if you're not wearing it, if you're not wearing a life jacket, you can drown pretty easily.
Yeah. I think the Animas is pretty, other than like one section of it, it's pretty calm. So I've never actually worn a life vest, but it's not a bad idea because people tend to go down maybe with like a cooler tied onto one of the inner tubes. What's a cooler?
Cooler. it's a container for to keep beer or maybe soda or anything cold, right?
Yeah, it's basically like what people use when they're camping or anything like that to keep stuff cold. And so it's quite popular for people to go down with some beers.
Careful, don't mix alcohol with water sports because many of people have drowned that way.
Yeah, the Real Life English Podcast does not condone drinking and tubing.
Okay, moving along. So we have some more water sports. Surfing is pretty popular, Ethan. Why don't you describe that?
So surfing, I think most people probably know what it is since it translates usually as the same word, but it's where you have like a big, almost like a table, like a big flat wooden or foam object that you use to move along the waves in an ocean.
Called a surfboard?
Yeah, called a surfboard, exactly.
It's a big board, right?
I'm like getting confused with the cognate in Spanish, I guess. So I was trying to say a table instead of a board. And some other sports that kind of use a very similar sort of board, like kite surfing, for example, which uses something similar to a surfboard, but then you're also attached to a large kite, which is a piece of fabric that is supposed to catch the wind. And it's kind of like another way to ride the waves and also the air at the same time. So it's even more technical, one could say. How about if you're on like a lake instead of the ocean, what kind of sports might people do?
Well, you have water skiing, and also you can have the boat pulling the tube along as well. It's inner tubing on the lake as well. So water skiing and inner tubing on the lake as well. And also, go ahead.
I was going to say, maybe if you're more keen on board sports, then instead of water skiing, you might wakeboard, which is basically the same thing, being pulled behind a boat, but it's a board instead of two skis.
Okay. So really quickly, let's throw down some winter sports. We have skiing, right? We mentioned a lot of skiing, water skiing. Now we have snow skiing, right? We have snowboarding. Exactly. Are you a snowboarder or a skier, Ethan?
I'm a skier. I tried snowboarding once and it was like one of the most painful days of my life.
There's kind of like a constant fight going on between the snowboarders and the skiers, isn't there?
Definitely in Colorado for sure.
But and I think there's another fight going on between the sledders too and the snowboarders.
I hope that the sledders aren't actually arguing since they're usually on a different hill. They're usually on like the bunny slope.
The bunny slope? What do you mean by that?
Bunny slope is like where kids learn how to ski or snowboard. It's a just like a small, a mountain is like obviously very big form and then a hill is smaller.
So wait, what is a sled though?
So we mentioned this earlier when we were talking about some winter sports in Colorado, but it's basically like a toboggan or a piece of plastic that you would use to like sit on and go down the hill.
It's not necessarily plastic because they have as well like the metal ones with the wood on top of it as well. Those are nicer ones, right?
Yeah, I think that's called like a toboggan. But maybe
is it really?
believe so. We'll have to fact check that one. But enough about outdoor sports. Well, I suppose these are outdoor sports as well, but let's get onto the little bit riskier side of things and talk about some extreme sports.
Okay. Have you done any extreme sports, Ethan?
Not that I can think of. I definitely want to try some of them. You know, it's like some of the things I've got on the bucket list, but I haven't gotten the opportunity or I haven't prioritized it yet.
Wait, bucket list. What's that, Ethan?
Bucket list is a list that you write out of things you want to do before you kick the bucket. Kick the bucket is another way to say to die. We might have to do we have a lot of expressions like this, so maybe at some point we'll do a podcast on expressions, morbid expressions, I guess. But yeah, a bucket list is a list of everything you want to do before you die. So I think a lot of people tend to have some of these extreme sports like skydiving or bungee jumping on their bucket list. Do you have any of them on your bucket list?
I don't really have a bucket list, but this is actually inspiring me to want to start. But yeah, another extreme sport, I'd say, I don't know if this is an extreme sport, but cliff diving, cliff jumping.
Cliff jumping. So what's cliff jumping?
Well, cliff, right? It's like a precipice. It's like a, mm-hmm. you jump from really high into the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's really deep and make sure it's there are no rocks around because you can get hurt. It's very dangerous, but I've done this a few times, definitely. Very thrilling, very crazy. It's that feeling right before you jump, you're like, you think you're going to die. It's just like you, everything in you is like, don't do it, don't do it. Maybe that's actually a smart instinct with regards to this.
I think that's kind of like the instinct that you have doing any of these extreme sports, because they're all very, we might say, like death defying, right?
Well, unless you die, then, then what does death defying mean?
Death defying. Death defying means that it's like you're doing something basically against that instinct, that kind of like intuitive instinct that you should not do it. So basically anything where you're jumping off of a cliff or out of a plane or, you know, flying through the sky, that are all very anti-human things to do, you'll have it's kind of like a death-defying sort of sport or action.
Hey, so, have you seen those videos where people like climb like really tall buildings and take like selfies hanging off of like a crane or something? You seen those?
I have seen that. Those like give me goosebumps.
Goosebumps. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. When like you're scared or you're really nervous or anxious, you might get almost like you were cold. You get kind of like raised bumps on your skin.
It's almost like when the hair on the back of your neck stands on end, right?
Yep. I don't have hair on the back of my neck, so I wouldn't know.
Or the hair on your arm stands on end, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we already mentioned some of these sports. So like skydiving is when you jump out of a plane from very high. And usually if you're doing this for the first time or first couple times, you actually have to be strapped to someone who has more experience. What's the next one is bungee jumping. What's bungee jumping?
Bungee jumping is when you jump from maybe a bridge or a really high platform and there's an elastic rope or cord that you basically, you reach the bottom of it and you bounce off the bottom of it and then you bounce back up.
Well, you don't really bounce off the bottom, not like you hit the ground and bounce back. You
you bounce on the rope, right? What would you call that?
Yeah. You kind of like, it pulls you back. There's like resistance. And I think it's supposed to be really great for your back. So if you have any sort of back pain, you can go bungee jumping, it'll just cure it.
Yeah, is this covered under my insurance?
And then we have base jumping. So what's the difference between like base jumping and skydiving?
Wasn't base jumping when maybe you jump off the top of a building or something with a parachute and then you need to deploy the parachute really quickly, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so like skydiving, usually I think you're floating in the air or falling in the air for a longer time before you pull the parachute. Base jumping tends to be like off of a building or some really high structure where you jump and then like pretty much right away you pull the chute.
So it's more idiotic then. I think it's there's a higher death rate.
Definitely. It's more risky. So I said pull the chute. What does that mean?
well, you pull the cord, right? Mm-hmm. And the chute is the parachute, the part that opens up to, and catches the wind.
Exactly.
Another just quick quote from the Dalai Lama. The mind works best. The mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's open.
I was wondering how the Dalai Lama is going to fit into extreme sports. I think he likes to go base jumping and meditate while he's free falling.
Hey, if he can get in the meditative state in a question of seconds before the chute opens, then more power to him.
What do you mean by more power to him?
More power to him means that you support this person, and maybe the idea is a little bit crazy, but you know, you might not agree with it. But more power to him. It just means you support him, right?
Yeah, if he can do it, like I can't do it successfully. Most people couldn't do it, but if he can, great for him.
Yeah.
And then we have another very similar one we talked about earlier, the wingsuit flying or the squirrel suit, which is basically the same idea, jumping off of a high place, but you're wearing like this suit that actually allows you to glide.
We have to put a video on the show notes there. You guys, if you haven't seen this, watch it. It'll give you goosebumps. You're going to go crazy watching this. Don't do it yourself.
Well, I mean, we might have some daredevils out there.
If you are a daredevil, leave us a shout out. Let us know who you are. Let us know about your experience. And we'll give you a shout out next podcast.
And what is a daredevil?
A daredevil is a person who does very daring things. Who does crazy things and basically dares death.
Yeah. Basically, anyone who does any of these extreme sports would be considered a daredevil. But there's like some famous ones of people who would, like, for example, jump over a canyon on a motorbike, just kind of doing things that to anyone else would seem crazy. Like, you have to be crazy to do it. And then the last couple we have are kind of similar, hang gliding and paragliding. So what's the difference between these two?
Well, hang gliding is when you have like an apparatus, it's wings that you are within. So it's almost like I don't know how to describe that. It's like wings that are like plastic or of some material, and you go out flying. How would you describe that, Mr. B?
Yeah, I'd say it's really famous, like in Rio. I think especially people have probably seen videos of people doing this in Rio. But it's basically like a big pair of plastic wings or something that you're hanging from. And usually, again, like the first couple times you do this, you have to be attached to someone else. And then paragliding it's a similar concept, but it's like with a parachute instead of a like pair of wings. Right. So that's basically all the extreme sports that we have to talk about today. We hope we've gotten you in the,
The final one is speaking English. Speaking English for that first time.
Definitely. Having that first conversation takes just about as much guts, courage, as does, you know, jumping off of a cliff in a squirrel suit. So, you know, if you if you can do that, you're quite the daredevil. So that's about, I think we can wrap this up. 1, 2, 3, aw yeah them out of here.
Aw yeah, so. Let's do it.
1, 2, 3.
Aww. Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Ethan again. Want to learn even more with this podcast? Then get our fluency course that will teach you English with 40 of our most popular episodes. You will learn all of the vocabulary, expressions, native pronunciation, and understand the jokes without getting lost. Are you ready to not just learn English with this podcast, but live it? Then I highly recommend you learn more about the Real Life English Podcast course by going to the show notes of this episode at reallifeglobal.com/extreme. EXTREME. At the show notes, you can also find all of the most important vocabulary from this episode, how you can leave us an iTunes review and get a shout out on our next podcast episode, and much more. So go now to reallifeglobal.com www.realifeglobal.com/extreme. Talk to you soon.